Ms. Nelson.
May it please the court. My name is Kristen Nelson, and I represent the defendant, Albia Edward Malone. The district court erred at sentencing when it failed to settle the dispute between the parties regarding the amount of restitution owed, as is required under Rule 32I3B. Prior to sentencing, defendant submitted a brief to the district court outlining why he believed he did not owe restitution to the victim. He provided evidence to the court, which included invoices reflecting approximately 500 cattle being removed from his feedlot, including additional feed. He stated that mortgages of his land and his co-defendant's land had been tendered to the victim. The PSR reflected that the original loss was $400,000, and the defendant paid the victim $115,000 from his personal account.
Was there any challenge to the validity of those assertions?
Pardon?
Was there any challenge to the validity of those assertions?
Yes. And that is, there is a challenge to further amount reducing the restitution order. But all of the parties agreed that the initial loss was $400,000 and that the defendant paid the victim $115,000 from his personal account.
Right, did he pay him $155,000?
$115,000, yes. All of the parties agreed to that. But in the same paragraph, paragraph 19 of the PSR, it states the victim later obtained a mortgage for the defendant's land in an attempt to recuperate his remaining funds, yet no value was given to this mortgage. Furthermore, in paragraph 27 of the PSR, it states that the victim had over 100 head of cattle on the defendant's feedlot, and in February 2010, the victim removed an undetermined amount of cattle from the feedlot. Once again, no value was given to this cattle, and it is the defendant's belief that the victim took the approximately 500 cattle, and this cattle was sold at auction, and the victim retained the proceeds from the sale.
Oh, let me stop you there. Whose cattle was it? Was it Malone's cattle?
That is what's being disputed in an ongoing civil case. The cattle belongs to the co-defendant's company, GLS, which is listed as a defendant in the civil case.
But isn't the only really issue here is how has Malone paid back O'Hearn?
The restitution was ordered joint and several. So any money that was paid back by Mr. Malone's co-defendant would offset the restitution amount.
So are you saying that Malone, of course, having a mortgage or lien is not money. How can you say that because he has a mortgage on some property that he's been reimbursed his restitution?
I believe that some value needs to be given to that mortgage because that mortgage was taken by the victim as an attempt to recuperate his loss.
It's only value if he forecloses on the mortgage, there's a sale, and the proceeds of that then goes against the restitution. All the mortgage is, and a lien is just a piece of paper.
Well,
is it not?
Yes, I agree, Your Honor. There are other liens out there that are being foreclosed upon, which are also a part of this civil lawsuit. So there are several different arguments in this ongoing state civil litigation that is trying to determine whether or not O'Hearn has been paid back money.
Right, and if he recovers some funds, then that'll be offset against the restitution, right?
It will, but if that $285,000 number is wrong, that offset is going to also be wrong because if you start with the wrong number, you're going to end with the wrong number.
Well, it's only wrong if the interest that the victim had by way of these liens counts as returned property under the statute.
Well, there was also the feed and the cattle, so there were other issues. And the court acknowledged
obtained by self-help, right?
Yes.
I mean, it wasn't exactly returned. He just took it.
Yes.
That's a little bit of a problem here.
Yes.
What's your statutory hook for that as being counted against the restitution award? I'm not finding one.
Well, I think if the victim does use self-help measures and does take this property, it does need to offset the amount of restitution. And the defendant did provide to the court.
That counts as a return? Is that your theory?
Say that is a return of property. And I think if he sold these cattle, that any money that's received from the cattle does count towards the restitution owed.
Go ahead, Judge Caney.
I'm sorry. So sentencing court receive that information?
The defendant provided a brief to the court prior to sentencing This was also discussed in the PSR, and as I said, it wasn't necessarily resolved in the PSR. And while
what you're saying is that the probation officer didn't take any position. He just reported what your client said?
Correct, Your Honor.
Well, that's hardly a holistic view of what occurred, isn't it?
I'm sorry, I don't understand what you're saying.
That's a one-sided view of what may have occurred.
It is, but there was a dispute and at sentencing, and the government didn't provide any evidence that this wasn't taken by the victim or that the victim had not received restitution. There was this dispute, and the court acknowledged there was a dispute. She actually said that. And the court stated it didn't want to get down into the weeds. It was too complicated. She didn't have the benefit of time to really get into all of these sub-issues. And if that was the case, the court had options. The court could have delayed the proceedings under 3664D5, which allows proceedings to be delayed up to 90 days for the parties to settle the amount of the dispute. Or if the court felt these issues were so complicated and so complex, it could have not ordered restitution under 3663AC3B, which allows, if determining complex issues of fact related to the cause or amount of the victim's losses would complicate or prolong the sentencing process, to a degree that the burden on the sentencing process on any victim is outweighed by the burden on the sentencing process, the court doesn't have to order restitution. So the court wasn't required to order restitution if it was so complicated and so complex.
Well, here's where I'm puzzled. On one hand, you're saying that O'Hearn has been fully paid his restitution plus more because of the cattle he took and the liens and mortgage, that he's been fully compensated plus more. Then on the other hand, you're saying that the court shouldn't have entered a restitution order because the complexity exception applies. I don't see how you can have it both ways.
I'm not. What I am saying is if, yes, the defendant contends that he has fully paid back or the victim.
So where's the complexity exception come in?
Well, that is because the court, when the defendant said this to the court, said, I believe I have paid this back. This is what I am giving to you as proof. The court said, I know there's a dispute. I know this is complicated, but it's too far down in the weeds. I can't rule on that. I'm just going to go ahead, and the parties agree on 285, so that's what I'm going to do. And if the court really felt that it was that complicated and they couldn't make a judgment as to the amount of restitution, then the court could have not ordered the restitution, and then the civil case could have taken care of it. The victim is suing several different parties in the state civil suit, and precedent other courts has said that the complexity exception, that a civil court case can be a factor in determining whether or not this complexity exception applies.
And you're relying on the Gallant case?
I am, Your Honor.
Well, the Gallant case also says a district court should not place great weight on this factor. The mere fact that a victim has filed a civil suit or the possibility of the victim could in the future is of little and typically no relevance.
Yes, but in that case, I believe they did find that the civil court case was relevant to the complexity exception, okay. And I would argue that the civil case is relevant to the complexity exception here.
How do you address Judge Taha's dissent then in that case?
I am not entirely familiar with the dissent, so at this point I would not comment, but I could provide a brief to the court if the court so chooses. And I see, I believe, my light is on, so I would like to retain some time for rebuttal.
That's fine.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Mr. Whittle?
May it please the Court. My name is Greg Weddle. I'm Assistant U.S. Attorney representing the United States today. It is our position that the District Court's restitution order was entirely proper. There has been no dispute. There was no dispute at sentencing. There remains no dispute that the original loss to Mr. O'Hearn occasioned by Mr. Malone's fraud was $400,000. That was properly reduced by the District Court by $115,000, which Mr. Malone repaid to Mr. O'Hearn prior to sentencing. That is, he returned money to Mr. O'Hearn in the amount of $115,000, leaving a balance of $285,000. Since that time, the defendant has made no other return of property. Return of property in this case would be money. Now, it's true that Mr. O'Hearn may have engaged in some self-help measures, as Judge Sykes referenced, but that did not constitute a return of property. And furthermore, it is not property of Mr. Malone. We're talking about several categories of assets here. Let's talk about cattle, first of all. If Mr. O'Hearn came to Mr. Malone's feedlot and removed cattle, the cattle could only have belonged to, and we don't know who the cattle belonged to, because that's what's going to be decided in the state court litigation, but the cattle could only have belonged to Mr. O'Hearn or another cattle farmer or Galesburg Livestock Sales, which is an incorporation. It is neither Mr. Malone nor Mr. Anderson, the two defendants in this case. Therefore, if this was to be considered compensation for Mr. O'Hearn's loss, it was from other sources, and the district court would have been prohibited from reducing a restitution award by any amounts that Mr. O'Hearn obtained from other sources.
Counsel, this is Judge Ganey. Could you tell me if the cattle are identified by tattoo or otherwise?
I cannot tell you that, Judge. I can tell you that some of the record reflected that some of the cattle had ear tags, some of the cattle did not, but I do not believe any of the cattle had been tattooed or branded. And it continues to be a dispute about whose cattle and how many cattle belong to whom. Moving on to the...
Before you leave that section of the statute that precludes consideration of collateral source payments, that rests on an assumption of voluntary collateral source payments, which seems not to apply here. I mean, it may be that there shouldn't be an offset eventually for this, but that's an issue for what's going on in the state court litigation.
Correct.
This just does not really fall under that collateral source payment provision.
Well, I think you're correct about that. I don't think the statute envisions self-help provisions. But there is at least some indication in the record, in the fact this was an exhibit attached to Mr. Malone's sentencing memorandum, that Mr. Anderson, in fact, had agreed for Mr. O'Hearn to take the cattle, remove them, take them to auction, sell them, and then the proceeds, he now says, belong to Galesburg Livestock. So perhaps it was not quite self-help. We don't really know that. But the main point is it was that the source of this so potential compensation was not from Mr. Malone nor Mr. Anderson. And I think that's the critical point. Only a return of property should be considered in reducing a restitution award, and here we do not have return of property. And as the judge pointed out, the mortgage has no value. In fact, what we know from what's in the pre-sentence report is that the banks probably have first lien on any of the cattle and have liens on the land of Mr. Malone and Mr. Anderson, because they were indebted to the banks up to more than they could pay, which is the reason they engaged in check kiting in the first place. And so, again, after the resolution of the civil case, Mr. O'Hearn may hold nothing except a worthless piece of paper.
To the extent that he gets a recovery in the state court litigation, that can be used as an offset to amend the restitution award down the road.
Yes, Your Honor. Precisely.
And that's what I take it the judge was driving at when he said, you know, this is too much in the weeds, we can deal with this later.
I think that's exactly what Judge Darrow was saying, is that I don't, not only, she used the words, don't have to get down into the weeds, but I think what she meant by that is that's not pertinent to my decision here. What's pertinent to my decision here is what is the amount of loss, and and I'm going to reduce that by the amount of any property returned. That was $285,000. Whatever happens in that state court case is none of my concern, because it's collateral compensation. And if Mr. O'Hearn ultimately prevails and it's determined that he has received compensation for this loss, then the defendant is entitled to an offset. But kind of the converse of that, though, and the reason that the practicalities fall into place here, if the district court had decided not to award restitution and Mr. O'Hearn did not prevail in the state court litigation, he would be out. He would have no restitution. His loss would be totally uncompensatable. There would be no order of restitution for which he could then, at some point, seek enforcement. And I think that's another reason why the district court said, you know, I don't need to go there, and she didn't go there. Moving on to the complexity exception, just very briefly, there's nothing complex about the determination of restitution in this case. The only complexity is the complexity involving all of the various claims, litigants, that are involved in the state court litigation.
How is the state court litigation related at all to the offensive conviction here, to what Malone did?
It's not at all, as far as I know, Your Honor. Now, Mr. O'Hearn may, part of his claim may be in the state court litigation that he was defrauded by Mr. Anderson and Mr. Malone of the $400,000. But the problem with that is there are all kinds of other claims. There are claims that Mr. O'Hearn has against the various banks, whether they were parties to the fraud. There are claims of values of mortgages. There are claims on whose cattle Mr. O'Hearn had. There are claims on whether Mr. Anderson's making claims Mr. Malone had stolen cattle from him. So it's a very complex state court litigation involving numerous claims, many of which, if not most of which, are unrelated to the crime in this case, unrelated to the check kiting and then the fraudulent scheme to defraud Mr. O'Hearn out of the $400,000. That's the complexity, but that complexity in no way has to do with either the determination of the amount of restitution in this case, the amount of Mr. O'Hearn's loss, which was affected by the crime in this case. That's where the complexity exception comes into play, and therefore the complexity exception does not apply in this case. Furthermore, it's our position that the defendant really has no rights under the complexity exception. That's a provision that deals with a victim's rights under the Mandatory Victims Restitution Act of the right to restitution. The fact that the court determined that it was not going to apply this exception affords the defendant, in this case, absolutely no rights. And again, the existence of the civil lawsuit does not make the determination of Mr. O'Hearn's loss for restitution purposes complex whatsoever. The practicalities weigh in favor of affirming this judgment of restitution. The case law demands the affirmance of the restitution order in this case, and I would submit that Judge Darrow really had no other choice, realized that, and made the proper restitution order. Unless the court has any questions, that's all I have.
Thank you. Ms. Nelson, you've got 2 minutes left.
Once again, the government has admitted there was a dispute at sentencing regarding the amount of restitution owed, but it says that the court didn't need to solve this dispute. But Rule 32(i)(3)(b) does require a court to settle the dispute in the PSR at sentencing. Furthermore, The government says if Mr. O'Hearn does not prevail at the civil court case, then he's out if we don't order restitution here. But if Mr. O'Hearn, if the victim does not prevail in the civil case, it's because a court of law, a jury, has found he's already been compensated, which means that he has been compensated. He just hasn't been compensated through a court order.
Well, not exactly. It means that the banks have a priority.
Maybe or maybe not.
On that collateral.
It could be. And once again, the government's making the assumption that the banks do have a priority on mortgages, but
those issues have nothing to do with the award of restitution here, but might constitute a legitimate offset down the road to the extent that Mr. O'Hearn achieves a recovery in compensatory damages. That's 3664-2.
Right. Right. But my understanding is this civil court case involves several different issues, and some of those issues are whether or not the victim has already received compensation.
And there's overlap to the extent that you're using the same arguments that are being made in the state court litigation to argue for an upfront offset on the restitution before those issues can actually be resolved in the state court litigation.
Well, what we're asking for is that the dispute be settled and that there is some kind of reference on the record that this dispute was acknowledged and settled and that it was not just disregarded as being too complicated.
How long are you wanting the district court to delay? I mean, the state court suits could take years.
Well, I think if they could even have some kind of more concrete proof as to the amount of restitution, if there is, if it has already been paid back to the victim, and that is what the defendant is contending. Thank you. For that reason, we are requesting that the restitution order be vacated and remanded back to the district court.
All right. Thanks to both counsel. The case is taken under advisement. And that concludes the call of the day today. Ms. Nelson, were you appointed on this case? All right. You have the thanks of the court for your advocacy on behalf of your client and for your service to the court. All right. The court stands in recess.
Hi, Judge Kaney?
Yes.
Okay, what I'm going to do right now, I'm going to hang up with you, but they're going to try to patch you into the robing room.
That'll be fine.
Okay, thanks.